Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Joining me on this special 4th of July broadcast is someone we always enjoy having on the show, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Jerry is a knowledgeable expert on history and America's Christian heritage. He's written or co-authored 33 books and currently serves as executive director of the Providence Forum. Today, we're going to be talking about the Declaration of Independence and some of our nation's other foundational documents in a brand new light. Jerry, it's always a pleasure to have you. We appreciate your wisdom, insight. Thank you for joining me, my friend.
Thank you, Tim.
Hey, it's a great week, Dr. Newcomb, this week. We're celebrating the 4th of July, but man, oh man, what a wild couple of weeks we've had. All eyes went to the Middle East, Iran. President Trump launched one of the most secretive and successful military strikes in history, taking out those nuclear bomb sites there in Iran. Jerry, just some thoughts on bold, courageous leadership. I'm telling you, it's what we need. The church, too, by the way, has largely been silent, shamed, stigmatized, but there's a time, there's a stirring going on. Something's happening in our country.
Yeah, my wife said the morning after the strike, she said, wow, well, the world just got safer, which is true. It's interesting, too, how the people who founded America were bold and they were very careful, but what they did it as basically to restore our God-given rights, which were being trampled on by England. A lot of people don't realize when we talk about the 4th of July, what are we really celebrating? Well, that's when the Declaration of Independence was adopted and voted on by 56 men in Philadelphia representing the 3 million people in America. And basically what they did in that document, they declared independence from England and at the same time, dependence upon Almighty God.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, I go back and reflect on that statement, to be free from tyranny and free to enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, when I was thinking about what it must have taken to make the decision in the Situation Room to move on Iran like they did, Jerry, that was a tough situation. That was a very complex moment. There must have been really incredible intel that said, this is a real imminent threat, not only to Israel, but to America and probably the greater world. And so, Jerry, in the midst of it, you step back and you go back and you reflect again on Independence Day, what they must have gone through when they were willing to come together and to fight with everything they had for religious liberty and get themselves away from that kind of tyranny. There are bad people in the world, Jerry.
Yes, there are. And, you know, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? And in fact, when you look at the Constitution, which was an outgrowth later because of the success of the Americans declaring independence, it is really predicated on the sinfulness of man. But going back to the Declaration, 1776, and in fact, if you read the Declaration of Independence, you see the premise is made very clearly. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And then after going through the, you know, the premise of the whole thing, God-given rights, it then goes in through this laundry list of 28 or so complaints against England. One of those complaints, a very interesting one, is that he has abolished our charters. Well, a lot of this was related to religious freedom. The Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Quakers and later the Presbyterians and the Catholics in the case of Maryland, they founded these different colonies for religious freedom with the understanding that they could practice their religion and so forth. And then what was happening with England in the 1760s and 70s, there was a push really to force all of the colonies to conform to what they had in England. So it's like, wait a minute, the city on a hill, the, you know, all the things that the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Quakers sacrificed for to come here to America so they could, you know, basically worship Jesus Christ and the purity of conscience, all of that would have been taken away as he would abolish our different charters and our charters of liberty. So this is a really interesting thing. I think the religious aspect of America's independence is not known as well as it really should be. It was a key factor. And in fact, the Presbyterians played a key role too. They had come over, thousands of them, hundreds of thousands of them, in the mid-1700s in a nation that was about 3 million at the time of independence. So you think about that, about 500,000 or so Presbyterians. And these people had been persecuted so bad by England, so they were willing to stand up for our God-given rights. In fact, it is said that when the Yorktown surrender happened, 1781, when the British surrendered, so it was the effective end of the war, which didn't end officially until 2 years later, 1783. Anyway, so the Yorktown surrender, every colonel in the American army, except for one, was a Presbyterian elder.
Jerry, as you've kind of gone through the documents and spent so much time looking at our history, and you've really looked at how our faith plays into all of that, God's done some stuff in your heart. And I can't help but think of, even in these current moments, when you see what's happening and you hear testament of people wanting to erase and abolish our history and so much more, it makes sense because people don't want us to hold on to or keep ourselves anchored. And so then people begin to get fearful, Jerry, and maybe they don't know a lot about the founding documents and how significant they are and why we should fight for them. They start to spin, and they see situations like what's happening in New York City right now with this mayor race, and they're thinking, what is happening to us? And we're losing the very things that keep us anchored, rooted. It's like having God's Word, the Bible, when it comes to a matter of our faith. These things are written that you may know that you have life. You know that? And Jerry, we've got to keep ourselves rooted there. This is significant.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, Karl Marx once said that something to this effect: if you take people away from their roots and their history, then you can make them, you know, accept whatever you want them to accept. Patrick Henry, great founding father, said, "It is when a people forget God that rulers forge their chains." So, in other words, or tyrants, really, he said, tyrants forge their chains. Bottom line is, we have our liberties because of God. The founder said that our rights come from the Creator. And by the way, when John F. Kennedy was inaugurated in January 1961, that's not too long ago. It's still within the lifetime of many, many of our hearers, including you and me and so forth. Bottom line is, he said that our forebears believed that the rights of man come not from the hand of the state, but from the hand of God. And that's the same basic core idea. You know, at the end of the day, the American experiment, Tim, boils down to this, that we have self-rule, the consent of the governed, under God.
Jerry, when people say our rights don't come from government, they come from God, there's a real connecting point here. Just give us a little bit of some of the work you've done, especially related to, say, the 4th of July, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and more, that you think people would find very valuable. Maybe want to teach your kids, share in their special groups or what have you.
Yes, providenceforum.org, and that's a division, by the way, of Coral Ridge Ministries. But there's a series of films that I made for Providence Forum, and it's called the Foundation of American Liberty series. And this is these are hour-long documentaries, and they include comments from Dennis Prager and Peter Lilbeck, who founded Providence Forum and gave it to Coral Ridge Ministries. My good friend Bill Federer, also Alveda King and Oz Guinness and Eric Metaxas and so forth. But basically what this does, this whole series, including Endowed by Their Creator and The Road to Independence, both of those really fit with the whole 4th of July theme. They show that it was Christianity in particular that played such a key role in the founding of America. There's a project from within Yale University called the Avalon Project, and I like it because what they do is they basically give you online the key documents in our history, our American history. Now, they don't just begin in, say, 1606 with the first charter of Jamestown and so forth, or the Virginia colony, which became Jamestown. They don't begin with that. They go much earlier, even including the Magna Carta, et cetera. But all the key documents in American history can be found right there. And at providenceforum.org, we are constantly putting out the content, not only of films, but also columns and podcasts and even quizzes to test your Christian, your knowledge of America's Christian heritage and so forth. But the bottom line is that it was Christianity that played a key role in the founding of America and the liberties we enjoy. And take this example from key founding father, John Adams. He said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And so, Tim, what we see with this intense secularism of today trying to cut us off from our Judeo-Christian roots as a nation, we just see, you know, everything deteriorating because the founders expected, as in fact, Oz Guinness explains this in one of the documentaries. He explains, you can think of it like the recycled triangle. The founders expected that we would have liberty, and that liberty would be based on voluntary faith, and that this would lead to more liberty. So, you know, you got to have virtue, you got to have faith, and then you have liberty. But if you take away the virtue, you know, then all of a sudden it corrupts the faith, and then you lose the liberty. So it's really important that we get back to our Judeo-Christian heritage. A lot of us think, and I'm one of them, that our only real solution as a nation is a genuine revival, a spiritual revival. In fact, America was born in part because of the First Great Awakening. Huge changes that were made among the colonists. And I deal with this with the documentary called The Road to Independence. A lot in there about George Whitefield and those revivals. I mean, even Ben Franklin, who was not necessarily Orthodox in his professed quasi-Christianity, but even Ben Franklin said, "Wow, it was amazing to see wherever George Whitefield would go and the people would change, and you could walk down the street at night and it was so nice and peaceful, and you hear different homes, they're singing the Psalms. It's as if the whole world got religious." And he was describing this as a beautiful thing. And so we have to get back to our roots.
Hey, you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, host here. Our special guest today is Dr. Jerry Newcomb. He currently serves as director of the Providence Forum. That's providenceforum.org. You're looking for more information about him and a lot of amazing resources to help strengthen you and your understanding of faith and our American history. Jerry, I want to come back to, in this journey, you know, when you think of people who back in the early days were fighting for their freedoms, they also had a lot of courage and boldness, but there was a lot of fear. And Jerry, I think today people are really concerned about what's happening across the country, you know, the open border situation, a lot of concern in the hearts of people. They had so many people coming. People this week talking about 2 million gotaways got over, and they're thinking about sleeper cells, terrorist sleeper cells all across this country. Jerry, what do you say to people who are in the midst of a mission? They feel called to stand, to be bold, righteous. They want righteousness and culture. But I'll tell you what, the adversaries are strong, and they're very concerned about, you know, some imminent attack or something like that going on.
Yeah, well, this is why faith in the Lord makes such a huge difference. And in fact, you can even see this with a lot of the key founding fathers, where they were putting their trust in God. They were putting their trust in the Lord to see them through. I mean, even in the Declaration of Independence, one of the last lines talks about, for the support of this, you know, document, we, with a firm reliance on divine providence, meaning, in other words, fully trusting in God, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And this is really important. By the way, those last three lines, or those three phrases, we pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, that was actually written initially by Mecklenburg Presbyterians a year before, in 1775, Mecklenburg, North Carolina. This group of Presbyterians declared independence, and they even had some of the very phrases that eventually worked themselves into the Declaration of Independence. And it's a great series, phrase. But this trust in God was extremely important. I've had the privilege to co-write a book with Dr. Peter Loback called George Washington's Sacred Fire. And he was the founder, or is the founder, of Providence Forum. And because of other duties with his seminary, he has graciously donated that to Coral Ridge Ministries. And I'm the one privileged to, you know, to work on it. And I understand you're tied into Liberty University. Well, one of the last books Dr. Falwell had on his book was that book, George Washington's Sacred Fire. And it's actually apparently on his desk to this very day, which I'm so honored about that. But bottom line is, you read that book, or you just read the life of George Washington, and you see he accomplished incredible things, and a lot of this had to do with his faith in the Lord. He was a regular reader of the Bible, and he also had a copy that he could fit in his uniform, a slimmed-down version of the Book of Common Prayer of the Anglican Church. He was a devout Anglican, the 1662 version of the Book of Common Prayer. And we point out in our book, George Washington's Sacred Fire, that book was more sound than probably 95% of the books you're going to find in a Christian bookstore today, the Book of Common Prayer. But there was a great deal of strengthening that George Washington felt that he got in his faith. One of the great founding fathers, they call him the lightning rod of the American Revolution, often overlooked, is Samuel Adams. And he, too, was so courageous, but that grew out of his faith in God. It was kind of like these key leaders were so committed to doing what was right and believing that God was going to help them, that's why they were able to do it. And in fact, one of their phrases, an appeal to heaven, even one of the earliest flags, it showed basically what looks like a Christmas tree pointing up to heaven, and it was an appeal to heaven. It was a phrase they found in the writings of John Locke, a Christian writer who wrote The Reasonableness of Christianity. But anyway, the idea was, hey, when all else fails, if you're really trusting in God, then you're making an appeal to heaven. They put it this way in the Declaration of Independence, you know, for the rectitude of our intentions, we appeal this to the supreme judge of the world. Now, Dr. Loback noted to me, we had a conversation about this. He said, Jerry, think about this. That is Jesus Christ being referenced in the Declaration of Independence, not by name, but as the supreme judge of the world. These are, for the most part, I mean, virtually all of them were professing Christians, no other religion being represented there in this, you know, with the people who gave it, the men who gave us the Declaration of Independence. And they knew the Bible, and the Bible says that Jesus is the one who's going to be the judge. So he is the supreme judge of the world. And they, put their trust in him. And in fact, 15 times during the American War for Independence, the Continental Congress declared days of fasting and prayer asking for God's help. And these weren't mamby-pamby type prayers, you know, to whom it may concern, oh, please help us. No, these were biblically based type of prayers, you know, where they're saying we're trusting through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ and so forth. And they asked for his help. He helped them. And in fact, at one point in a private letter to one of his generals, George Washington once said, when you look at all these different ways that God has helped us, you have to be worse than an infidel to be ungrateful to God for his help in the American cause. And the recent movie by Michael Medved, by the way, Michael Medved did the voice of John Adams for me in my Foundation of American Liberty series. But anyway, that recent movie, it just shows you over and over and over how George Washington recognized it was the hand of God that helped them. I mean, through, freak weather instances and all kinds of different aspects of the whole American story. God has helped us all along the way to become a free nation so we can worship, you know, in peace.
Jerry, as I listened to you, my mind just kept going in and out on the issue of faith and religious liberty. It's at the heart of who we are. It's at the end of the day, it's what it's all about. And so we lose that most cherished freedom. We lose everything. No wonder they fought so rigorously for their freedom way back. And as we look at the 4th of July coming up, it's just a whole different perspective then on why we celebrate. What a privilege it is to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yes, I agree. And you look at the sacrifices of those people who came so they could worship Jesus in the purity of the conscience. Liberty of conscience, that's so key.
Jerry, what a delightful conversation. We've got to have you back, and we got to have more of these conversations. We really need to talk constantly about what is it that made America great? How is it that we keep ourselves anchored? And what are we going to do in terms of legacy-oriented work? How are we going to influence our children and our children's children? That's what it's all about. Jerry, closing word on Providence Forum and what you're doing down there again and how it matters to everyday Americans when it comes to matters of faith and freedom.
Yes, I think it's so important that we get back to our Judeo-Christian roots. As Dr. Oz Guinness once said, the biblical concept of covenant gave rise to the American Constitution. People don't realize this, but the two key founding documents of America, the Declaration of Independence, celebrated on the 4th of July, and the U.S. Constitution, they both follow ultimately, and they grew out of this tradition of covenant making, and the Pilgrims and the Puritans began that process, and others also practiced it as well, but it all gets back to the Bible. The Bible played a unique role in giving us the freedoms that we enjoy, and as we in modern America keep undercutting the Bible, we keep undercutting our freedom and that of our children and our children's children. So at Providence Forum, we're trying to educate people about these things.
Dr. Jerry Newcomb has been our guest today. ProvidenceForum.org is where you can learn more information about him. Jerry, on behalf of my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we salute you and pray God's continued blessing on you, your work, your family, and so much more. Thank you again for joining me.
Thank you, and happy 4th of July.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.